This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Still going.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Glad you can join me as Marketplace continues to cover the fallout from the financial crisis. The worldwide stock market rally is still on. Big gains in Asia today for the third straight day, 10% in Japan, 13% in Hong Kong, mostly based on the Fed's half-point rate cut yesterday and its decision to buoy the currencies of four countries, South Korea, Singapore, Brazil, and Mexico. Those currencies have really been hurting of late. Wall Street was on track for another big day until the final minutes. Then came a negative report about GE profits and some selling by hedge funds. So in the end, the Dow fell 74 points to 8990. The NASDAQ gained 7 to 1657. And the S&P 500 finished the day down 10 points to 930. It is earnings season, and we'll get a bunch more profit reports today. Motorola, Exxon, Colgate, Palmolive, some others. In ordinary times, a great or devastating earnings report can really have an effect on the stock market. But right now, seriously, does anyone really care about earnings? Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson explains.
Gary Schilling runs an economic consulting and investment advice firm. He says earnings reports aren't worth much right now. First off, investors expect bad news and have usually already factored it into the stock price. And he says the reports often contain outlooks that are overly bullish.
Projections are almost useless in recessionary times. Very few analysts have the fortitude to step up and see that the companies they follow are in trouble.
Michael Holland chairs the investment firm Holland & Company. He says he's not interested in the fine print of how particular companies performed last quarter. Too much has changed since then.
The specific numbers are less important than what the company is saying about how they view the short to intermediate term and how they're coping with the changes.
He says what really grab investors are reports that offer a plan of action, the steps companies will take to survive and perhaps even thrive in a recession. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
The federal government is working on a new plan to help struggling homeowners with foreclosure. This would be paid for through the $700 billion rescue package passed by Congress. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has more on that.
The plan hasn't been finalized yet, but details are leaking out. The government would provide guarantees for about $500 billion worth of home mortgages to prevent foreclosures. The New York Times reports the government would cover half the losses on those loans, but lenders would have to agree to lower homeowners' monthly mortgage payments for at least 5 years. The plan could help up to 3 million homeowners avoid foreclosure. It would be managed by the FDIC. It's estimated the plan would cost the government up to $50 billion, although the Times says Uncle Sam could spend up to $55 billion if the economy gets worse. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Netflix and TiVo announced a new partnership today. The deal will allow people to stream any of Netflix's 12,000 movies through their TiVo boxes. Viewers will need a high-speed internet line to tie the whole thing together. Movies will start being available for streaming in early December.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, letting listeners know that October is Sudden Cardiac Arrest Awareness Month. More about SCA risks and treatment at hearthelp.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
Time to visit with our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. And the topic this week is the auto industry. There's talk of a loan to help GM and Chrysler complete a merger or some other kind of direct assistance to American carmakers. But Chris, based on the email you sent me, I know you think the government should keep its hands in its pockets this time. Why?
Well, for one thing, I mean, it sounds harsh, but if GM and Chrysler disappeared, we'd still be able to buy as a consumer. We'd get cars from Ford, Hyundai, Honda, Toyota. There's plenty of car makers out there, so the consumer's not going to get hurt. And secondly, it's a competitive market. GM and Chrysler have made a lot of strategic mistakes. Management has made some terrible decisions. And finally, I mean, if you just look at Chrysler, it's owned by Cerberus Capital Management. This is a private equity firm. So The American taxpayer is going to bail out a private equity firm?
Well, there are a lot of jobs at stake here, Chris.
Yes. So my notion is, let's not give the money to Chrysler and GM and the management. Let's give it to the workers. Now, if I do the calculation right, and we're talking about $10 billion, that's about $70,000 per worker. As a voucher, workers can use it to retrain. Workers can use it to move to a different part of the country. And, of course, some of it might be wasted. But it is a waste of money to put it into the companies themselves. We've seen disaster after disaster, whether it's in the steel industry in the past, where companies have not done what we expect them to do with the money. What I would prefer is, look, go into bankruptcy. We don't need a taxpayer bailout, so just declare bankruptcy. But if the politics are such that we are going to do some form of a bailout, let's not direct it to the companies. Let's protect who we're really worried about, which is the worker.
All right, so are you basically saying to give up on the American auto industry?
Whoever can survive, survives. Seems like Ford's going to be around, right? And maybe a smaller GM or a smaller Chrysler, or maybe Chrysler disappears, a smaller GM. I don't know how it's going to shake out. But as far as I know, there's lots of auto plants here in the U.S. There's no shortage of cars. We have a lot of auto workers. They just happen to be working for companies with names like Toyota and Hyundai and Honda. Yeah, we're going to have a shrunken industry, which, by the way, has been shrinking. Let the bankruptcy system deal with it.
All right, Chris Farrell, our economics correspondent. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
I'm guessing you might have an opinion about this. Let us know at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.